Bibles tonight, looking in 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27, and I don't get alarmed when I say Chronicles. In amongst all the heat and all the names and the begats and all that, you can find some little nuggets along the way. I'm glad that no matter what book of the Bible in, you can find something to help. Amen. But we was reading the other night and looking at this list that we're getting ready to read, talking about King David and how the kingdom was settled into his hands, and then he became the king of Israel and all that. And the time of battling had passed. The wars were over. The wars were won. God had given him the victory. And he was going to give out some rewards to those that fought alongside of him, to those that served him. And he was going to reward them and put some responsibilities upon those men. And the time had come to hand out those rewards to those that had been faithful to go through all the struggles and all the troubles that he went through for the last several years that he'd been king. And every man, one after one, they stood in line. And name after name was called for these important positions. And if you read through the books of chapters of Chronicles, you'll see all kinds. There's four chapters in 1 Chronicles alone that tell us of those that were chosen and the positions that were given them. But for the sake of time tonight, I want to look at just a few verses. And we know from Scripture that David knew most of these men personally. He fought valiantly beside most of them. He led them into battle, and God gave them great victories in, it seems, almost everything that they did. God's hand was upon David. Why is that? Because he was the chosen one. He was the anointed one, and God was with him. Amen. No doubt they had dwelt together in tents as they were fighting, and he got to know these men on a deep level. Now, when you're talking to me in the church house, and I'm talking to you in the church house, we let people see what we want them to see. We present a front to them of who we want ourselves to be presented as. But you get in the battle with somebody. You get in the war with somebody. You get in the trenches with somebody. You get in trouble with somebody. You find out who they really are. Or they find out who you really are. And David found out who these men really were right here. And no doubt they waited day after day to hear their names called as they stood in line and see what job was going to be assigned to them. And I want us to look at one man in particular today. And looking in 1 Chronicles chapter number 27, verse number 25, it says this, "And over the king's treasures was Asmaveth, the son of Adiel, and over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezra, the son of Chalab. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. Over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdath, the Shiphamite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains of Baal-Hanan, the Gederite, and over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the herds that fed in Sharon, the sheep Treab, the Sharonite, and over the herds that were in the valleys of Shaphath, the son of Adlai. Over the camels is also of Obil, the Ishmaelite, and over the asses of Jediah, the Meronothite, and over the flocks of Jaziz, the Hagarite, and all these were the rulers of the substance, which was King David." They were put in charge of all the treasures, all the substance in the land of Israel. Oh, what a mighty thing they were challenged and charged to do here. But tonight I want to look at one man, and this man's name is Joash. And he was a keeper of the oil. He was the keeper of the oil. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the reading of your word. And God, we're thankful for every jot and every tittle that we find within, because, God, you give us a little nugget in between these precious pages. And God, even though sometimes the reading's hard and we struggle with the names that you put down in your book, God, I'm glad that you have something for us. And God, you give us something to help us along the way. And God, I pray for these next few moments, God, you'd help us to get out of the way. And God, just let you have your way. Because God, we're trusting in you to give us exactly what we need tonight. And Lord, we give you praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I covered every name in there 100%. But if you want to come up here and try it, you're welcome to. Amen. Those names are tough. And when you read verse after verse, it's hard to get in there and just stay focused on these. But I'm so glad that when I got to these parts right here, we started reading about how David had charged these men to keep the mighty treasures of Israel. And one after one, he assigned them to these great positions along the way. But there was one man, he was assigned a position that was underground. He was assigned a position in a cellar. He was assigned a position that would never see daylight. He would never see the light of day. He was assigned to be underground in the darkness. But he was assigned the most important job of all Israel. He was the keeper of the oil. Now several chapters in 1 Chronicles tells of the setting of the order of King David's kingdom right here. We see that Solomon is being groomed to take over as king when the death of David is coming. The temple plans are on the drawing board and the architects are making plans to build this temple. And don't you know King David wanted to build the temple more than anything else? But God would not let him. God wouldn't let him build the temple, but God had a plan. And God used David to store up the supplies needed to build the temple. And God put men in place over all these treasures and supplies to keep them when the time for building the temple was come. Now the organization of the kingdom had been a long time coming. When Saul took over as king, the nation, as we read about in prior books and prior chapters, they had many wars, they had many enemies. And Saul and David, they spent many, many years fighting the enemies of Israel. And King Saul, he spent about every bit of his time occupied with the fighting of the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Amalekites, the Edomites. And then Saul wasted almost all of his resources chasing after David and a few of his men. King Saul squandered everything that God had given them because he was jealous over David. Now after the death of Saul, several years passed before the kingdom was passed down to King David's hands. But during this period, David and his followers, they fought many battles and won many victories. And what you need to understand, that David and his men were killing machines. You talk about Navy SEALs, you talk about the finest military, that's who King David was. He was a fighter. Now we try to romanticize who he really was, that he was king and he played the harp and he wrote all these songs. And yeah, he did all that. Boy, he was a mighty fighter. He was a mighty man of valor. And when it's time to come to war, he didn't care to shed blood in the name of Jesus, in the name of God. Amen. Amen. It's sometimes that we have to stand up to fight. And God expects us to fight in his battle. Amen. Amen. But in our reading here in 1 Chronicles, many years have passed since they've conquered all their enemies. All the enemies of Israel have been vanquished here. And the scripture tells us that David subdued the Philistines. This was the first time in Bible history that the Philistines had been subdued. They smote Moab. Now Moab is no longer an enemy of Israel. The Syrians have been conquered. The Edomites have been subdued and became David's servants. And 1 Chronicles 18 tells us that David reigned over all of Israel. Peacetime had come. The war was over. Friends, one of these days our war is going to be over. We're going to go to a better land. But till that time comes, God expects us to fight. Amen. But now we see that David is getting old. And age is coming upon him, and his fighting days are over. He's no longer the warrior he once was, and he's no longer out slaying giants like the old giant Goliath. Now David, he wants to honor God by building him a temple, building him a house. But God said this, "You shall not build my house because you've shed too much blood upon the earth in my sight." Don't you know David's heart was broken? Boy, David wanted to serve God. He was a man after God's own heart. Don't you know God loved him? God loves you. David, even though he failed mightily, God forgave him mightily. And I'm glad when we mess up along the way, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. And I'm so glad of that. Aren't you glad that God don't give up on us? And it would have been easy for David to give up when he failed on God. And no doubt he suffered. And life wasn't easy. And he never forgot what he did. But he never could forget how good God was to him. Amen. When God gives you much forgiveness, oh, it gives you much thanks in your heart. Amen. And I'm glad he's still forgiven today. But because God promised David that he'd give him a son who was a man of peace. God knew David's heart and that he wanted to build a temple, but he couldn't have bloodshed hands building a temple of the sacred, holy, mighty God. But he said, you've gotten up every morning. You've went into battle like I've called you to. You've put your armor on. You've grabbed your weapon up. You went out to fight and you've killed. But your son, he'll be a man of peace. And he shall build my house. Don't you know that give David some hope along the way? That, yeah, I may not get to see the work of my hands accomplish what I wanted, but my child's going to get to. Ain't that like us a lot of times? We may not get to do everything we want to do, but it thrills our hearts to see our children doing some things for God. Amen. It's an honor to see God opening doors for our kids. And I may not be able to do what they can do, but I can sure look back and rejoice because they get to do something for the Lord. But I want us to focus tonight just for a few moments, and I won't be before you long, but on this man named Joash that we find in verse 28 of our text. And it says, Joash, and over the sellers of oil was Joash. The name Joash, number one tonight, I want us to look at his name. The name Joash, it's interesting to note what his name means. It means Jehovah has given. Jehovah has bestowed. Jehovah has given me the seller. Jehovah has bestowed upon me the seller of oil. Jehovah has given me to be the keeper of the oil. Jehovah has asked me to move into the cellar and watch over his oil. It's almost like Joash was born to be the keeper of the oil. Just like you and me, we were born to be a keeper of the oil of the Spirit. We know that God, in the Bible, the oil represents the Spirit of God. And each one of us was born to be a keeper of the oil tonight. Each one of us, when we were born, we have a deep space within us that only God and the Holy Ghost can fill. But yet we spend our lives looking for things, trying to fill up this void, this gap that's within us, with everything but the right thing. But the one thing that we were created to be filled with, and that was the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad I've had an encounter with Him. And when He come by, boy, I stopped trying to fill it up with everything the world had to offer. Because He come in, and when He filled it up, He filled it up right. Amen. If you know what I'm saved tonight, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're lost tonight, I know what you're going through. You're trying to find something to fill that gap within inside of you. Friend, can I tell you something? You were born to be a keeper of oil. You were born to be a keeper of oil. And it's no long wonder that the world's in the condition that it's in. If everyone would do what they were born to do, if everyone on this earth would be a keeper of the oil, you think that we couldn't live in harmony. You think we couldn't get along. There'd be no much less trouble and strife in the world today, even in the church. But people don't do what they were born to do. We were sinners by nature. And that's our nature. That's sinful. Oh, don't you wish that when we were saved, that God would have saved this old flesh? Boy, that saved a lot of problems. But He didn't. We get a war. We have a war with it every day. But we were born to be keepers of oil. Secondly tonight, I want us to look at the cellar. The cellar is an underground vault. It's a subterranean cavern and an underground chamber that runs under the city. The cellar, it's a dark place. The cellar is a lonely place. It's a damp place, and it's a cold place. No outside air moving to come in. No fresh breeze can be felt down within the cellar where the oil is kept, because you can't have any contaminants where the oil is kept. Amen. I like that. You can't have any contaminants within you where the oil is kept. Amen. God will not reside in a dirty house. It's always dark in the cellar. You don't get any natural light in the cellar. And from man's point of view, this cellar, it might appear that that's the lowest rank that King David could have put upon Joash. When you're in the cellar, it means you can't get any lower. It means you're at the bottom. And there are miles and miles of these underground chambers in Israel where the oil pots are kept. You have to carry a light with you. The sun doesn't shine down in the cellar. The moonlight doesn't penetrate the cellar. You have to have oil in your lamp to see in the cellar. Upon the streets of Jerusalem, above the caverns and the cellar here, it's business as usual. People are milling about. Men and women are going about in the markets, buying and selling. They're talking, they're laughing, and children are playing games, and everyone's enjoying life. But somebody's got to keep the oil. Somebody's got to be in the cellar. The keeper of the gate is letting the caravans in and out of town. The keeper of the wall, like we read about, is walking to and fro upon the wall, calling out to those who come in below. The keeper of the treasure is counting the bags of gold and of silver and of precious stones and all that. He's keeping inventory of all that, and they get to be above ground. The keeper of the fields is out looking at all the crops. The keeper of the flocks and the herds is making sure the sheep stay sheared and all the cows and the goats are milked. The king's counselors are all meeting in his chamber. The judges are hearing and trying in the court of law. But Joab, the secretary of defense, is giving orders to his troop, and all the whole profile of men on the job is there where everybody can see him. But there's this man, Joash, down in the cellar, keeping the oil. There seldom comes a visitor down in the cellar. Hardly anyone's allowed down in the cellar, in the silence where you can hear a pin drop down in the cellar. There dwells a shadowy figure of this man named Joash as he nurtures and guards the preserves and preserves Jerusalem's storehouse of oil. You ask tonight, why is this such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal that we're looking at Joash tonight? He's down in the bottom. He must have done something bad. He must have been awful if David throws him down in the dark, down in the dungeon almost, to keep the oil. Friend, can I tell you something? Thirdly tonight, we're going to look at the oil. Row upon row of stone jars were down in the cellar. And as Joash walks about with his little lamp filled with some of this oil that he's watching over, he sees thousands and thousands upon thousands of pots of these oils were thousands upon thousands and hundreds of thousands of olive trees where they've taken the fruit and they put it in a press and they've treated it and took care of it and took the oil out and they put it in these pots to put it down in the cellar to preserve it. Why is this important tonight? There's significance in the oil. Oil wasn't just something that anyone could keep. It was a precious commodity in those days. We know, like we've already talked about, that oil is symbolizing the Holy Spirit. And I would say to you tonight that just like the oil was precious to Israel, the Holy Spirit is precious to us. I certainly can't do without him today. But Israel couldn't do without the oil. You don't realize how important that oil was. Joash must ensure that every vessel, the thousands and thousands of vessels that he's entrusted with, they have a wax covering on them to keep contaminants out of the oil. He must ensure that every seal is solid. He must ensure that everything is in order. He must ensure that it's kept cold and that light cannot come down where the oil's at. You ask why he's down in the cellar tonight? Because light will ruin this oil. Olive oil is very sensitive to everything around it. It's sensitive to heat, so it has to stay in the cool. That's why they put it underground. It's sensitive to light. It will change the color and change the characteristics of the oil. That's why they have to keep it in the dark. The oil is precious, and it has to be kept in the low place. It has to be kept in the place where nobody wants to serve, where nobody wants to go. But friends, it takes those serving in the cellar so that those above can serve above ground. If somebody doesn't watch over it, the oil will ruin. If somebody doesn't take care of it, it will become bad. It will go putrid and it'll start to stink and then has to be thrown out. It's wasted if somebody doesn't do their job. And the oil to light the darkness of in Israel. At nighttime, if you see candles burning in the temple that's getting ready to come, they're going to burn this oil that's being stored down in the cellar. All of the oil for the anointing comes from this cellar. The kings that were anointed to over Israel, the oil came from the cellars under Israel. It was an important place and to store this important commodity of oil. And if the keeper didn't do his job, the lamps would go out. If the keeper didn't do his jobs, there'd be no oil for anointing. And I don't know about you, but I love the anointing tonight. Now, we've been blessed in a lot of good services along the way, and God's used us along the way. But we get sometimes we'll go hear different groups sing. And I love good singing. I love good talent. I love good preaching. But there's a difference between good singing and anointed singing. There's a difference between good preaching and anointed preaching. There ain't nothing like the anointing tonight. I don't care if you sing every note perfect, brother. If it's not in line, not anointed by the Holy Ghost, it ain't worth killing. But you take some little old lady or somebody along the way, they can't sing every note perfect, but they get up here with a touch of God on them, Oh, it does something inside of my soul. I can't do without the anointing of God. That's why it's important for us to protect the oil, because we need the anointing of the oil. Now, you got to understand the treasurer of silver and gold standing overhead. No doubt the gold was important. Money was important in those days, but it wasn't as important as the oil. Tithes and offerings important to our church, but it's not as important as the anointing of the oil, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to our church tonight. Church, where would we be without the anointing of God Almighty tonight? Now, David acted most wisely on this principle that the highest posts, the most important posts of the land, the most important jobs had to be filled with the most responsible people. Don't you know that once Joash, when he first got assigned this task, and he went down into the dark and he felt the cold and he heard the silence and he saw the darkness, don't you know that maybe he thought he was being punished for something he did? He may not have realized how important his job was to start with. And friends, you may be here tonight. You may not stand up here on a platform. You may not be seen, but you're doing something in a cellar. Maybe you've got a prayer closet that you're getting into. Maybe you're cleaning the bathroom, or you're doing something that nobody sees, nobody appreciates. Your job is just as important as those of us who stand up here. Without you, we can't do what we do. Without you protecting the anointing of the cellar, those above ground don't have any anointing for them either. It starts with you. So it don't matter how big or how small you feel like your position is in the church or in God's order. Your job is important tonight. Why? Because you need to preserve the oil. You need to be a keeper of the oil tonight. Because if you do your part, those who stand out front, our pastor, those in the leadership of the church, the teachers, the singers, everybody else, they can have the anointing of God because you started keeping the oil and have the anointing on your life. There came a day when Joash was going to have to give some oil away. And I think it was this time that he probably realized how important and critical his part was. When it came time to build the temple, King Solomon hired Hiram's builders to do the job. And he made a deal with Hiram to pay part of the price in oil. He wasn't just going to pay him in money. He wasn't going to pay him in gold, timbers, or anything else. He wanted to pay him with oil. 2 Chronicles 2:10 says, "And behold, I will give to thy servants 20,000 baths of oil." Now, 20,000 seems like a big number, does it not? But you say, "Preacher, what's a bath?" That ain't something we go get in a bathtub. That ain't what he's talking about. He ain't talking about a little wash tub like my mom and dad talk about when they were little. But a bath is about 9 gallons. That's what it stands for in our terms. So instead of 20,000 baths, let's say, well, he needs 180,000 gallons of oil. So when he said, "How much oil do you have, Joash?" And he didn't look at him, he just kind of looks at him, "How much do you need?" Joash knew, because he was keeping the oil, that he had a supply that was going to be sufficient to meet their every need. "I need about 20,000 baths of oil, Joash. That sounds like a good amount to me. Do you think you can handle that?" He said about, and Joash, because he stayed on top of his duties and keeping the oil, the building of the temple was paid for. The temple of God could be built. The vision that David had and passed down through Solomon could be fulfilled now because the keeper of the oil did his job. Now, we may think of the cellar as some little hole in the ground. Or, to be honest, when I got to reading about it, I thought of the cellar maybe, like my dad has a little hole in the ground where he stores his potatoes, and he kind of digs down in there, keeps stuff underground to keep it from rotting, you know, kind of keep it storage. But when you think of how massive this cellar was and how massive this storage was, the miles and miles of caverns and thousands of pots that he kept the oil in, it was a mighty undertaking, and it was a huge responsibility for Joash. But because he kept the oil, when it came time to pay for the temple, the price could be paid. And when it's time for us to come to meeting, when it's time for us to gather in the church house, if you've done your part, everybody that's supposed to be keeping the oil in your cellar, boy, we can come in, the price has already been paid. We've prayed up, we're ready to come to meeting. Then we'll start seeing lives changed. We'll see souls saved. We'll start reaping the benefits of keeping the oil. It was a massive place, and all the oil in the city was dedicated to God. Everything that was produced in the nation of Israel was stuck down here. Somebody had to watch it. Somebody had to keep it rotated. They had to make sure they took the old out first and put the new in the back to keep it rotated out. Somebody had to keep it all clean. They had to keep it organized. And saying to Joash, I need 180,000 gallons, it didn't take him off guard. It didn't catch him in a state of confusion. But he was ready to fulfill his duties because he kept the oil. And Hiram only wants good oil, you ask. You've got it because I've been doing my job. I don't have any bad oil in my cellar. I don't have any bad oil down here because I am the keeper of the oil. The temple may have been built by Hiram's builders, and it may have been called Solomon's temple, but in all reality, it came to pass because it was built on the backs of the man that kept the cellar. Unless somebody keeps the cellar, you can't build a church. Unless somebody's willing to work underground, unseen, unheard, unless somebody's willing to be an unknown, there will never be a known for God. The unknowns make the known possible. The known rides on the backs of the unknowns. Up overhead, the temple, it was rising up and being built day by day. And Hiram's builders were working hard, raising the temples and the stones. But underground in the cellar, Joash was pouring out the oil to pay the price for it. Unless somebody's willing to keep the oil in the cellar, there'll never be an anointing in the house of God. That's where the oil flows from. It's from the cellar where somebody's working, sight unseen, to keep the oil flowing. It wasn't called Joash's temple, though, but he furnished the oil to pay for it. When Zadok anointed Solomon to be king over Israel in 1 Kings 1 and 39, where do you think the oil come from? It come from the cellar. Because he kept the oil, the king was anointed, and Solomon could fulfill David's task that he was laid before him and build the temple of God. Invitations don't come to the cellar. Joash was living in a place where he and his wife never received an invitation to the ceremony. A lot of times we feel left out because we think that nobody loves us, nobody cares. Friend, can I tell you something? God cares, and he wants you to be a keeper of the oil. He wants you to carry out the responsibility that you have. And if you need a fresh anointing, there's no need to go to the captain of the guard. If you need a touch of God, a lot of times you can't come to me. You don't come to me because I can't help you. You go to the one in the cellar that's keeping the oil, where they have the anointing of God. And I want that oil in my life. I want it all over me, and I want to be associated with people that keep the oil and keep it fresh, amen. If you need a fresh anointing, there's no need to go to the treasure. It's not going to be found there. It's going to be found in the cellar. The politicians, they can't help you. The keeper of the gate, he won't be able to help you with the oil. The keeper of the wall, he can't give you the oil. The keeper of the vineyards, they're no help to you if you need the oil. The keeper of the flocks, they'll turn you away if you need the oil. But if you need a fresh anointing, search out the keeper of the oil in the cellar. That's where all the anointing oil comes from. Right down there in the dark where nobody thinks they really want to be. But a lot of times that's where we need to be because that's where we have to look to God from whence I come as our help. Amen. Everybody, it seems like they want to start at the top. We'll see young preachers, they'll rise up and they want to go pastor the biggest churches. They want to stand in front of thousands and thousands of people. They don't want to spend time down in the cellar keeping their oil until the time that God appoints to them to do something else. God calls each one of us to keep oil in our cellar, to keep it safe. So when the time comes for him to use us, we'll be ready and we'll have the anointing on our life. Amen. They want the high-profile position, but nobody wants to be in the cellar. Young men want to be anointed, but they don't want to do what it takes to get the anointing. They don't want to be in the dark. They don't want to feel like they're all alone. They don't want to be in the cold. Sometimes it's a cold place down in the cellar, but that's where you get the anointing, and that's where you keep the oil. First, you need to go to the cellar and seek out the keeper of the oil. Let's go to the cellar every chance we get. Amen. Joash lived in the cellar. He was covered in oil. He was bathed in oil. He had oil on his hands. He had oil all over his clothes. Every part of him, his hair, and everything was covered in oil. Everything he did touched the oil. You may say, I don't know that I want to be a pastor. I don't know that I want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a pastor's wife or anything else. I don't think I could be a missionary in a foreign country. I don't think I could take on a little church or anything else. Friends, you can be a keeper of the oil. The only reason we can shout and praise the Lord in this church, the reason that we feel the presence of the Lord that we call the anointing, is because sometime, somewhere in the history of Bethel Baptist Church, somebody kept the oil in the cellar. They kept it fresh. They kept it in order. They kept everything right. And there were men and women. They lived out of sight. We may not know their names. We don't know who they were. They lived out of the spotlight, but they did their duties for the Lord. And they were keepers of the real treasure of the church. They kept the oil. These are the people who kept the lights on. They got here early to turn the heat on. They got here early to turn all the lights on. They made sure everything was clean. They made sure all the books were in order. They made sure everything was ready when it was time to go to meeting, that there was nothing missing. They kept the oil in order. Somebody in this generation ought to be willing to move to the cellar. It's about time some of us tried to stop being in the spotlight and start getting down where nobody can see us but God. And he sees that we're getting serious about getting in the oil, about keeping the oil, getting the anointing on our lives. I know it's a thankless job, but your name may never be on the sign that stands out by the road. Your name never be on that sign out there for everybody to read. You may never be invited to come up here and sing a song or say anything for Jesus. You may never get your name on the door. You may never get a parking spot out in the parking lot. You may never get recognized for what you do. But your job is the most essential job in this church, and that is keeping the oil. You say, anything I can do for you, preacher? Anything I can do for the pastor? Anything I can do? He would say, yeah, I need somebody to work in the cellar. I need somebody to keep the oil. Don't feel sorry for Joash. Don't think that there were probably some that felt sorry for him because he had to live in the dark and the damp and all of this. Maybe he also felt sorry for himself at times and his family at first. But then he'd go around in this cellar and he'd have to check the temperature of the oil. And I like this part. When he was starting to check the temperature of the oil, he didn't have a thermometer. He didn't have any other way, but he had to get down on his knees. He had to get down in these old pots he had and stick his hand down in there. Make sure his hands were clean, but stick his hands in and feel that it was the right temperature. And the oil covered his hands. He got anointed in the oil, and every part of him got covered in the oil because he did his job. I want that anointing in my life. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost because I've spent some time alone with God. I've spent some time in my prayer closet where nobody but God can see. I've spent some time reading the scriptures and getting the anointing of God in the darkness. So when it comes time to serve him publicly, he's with me and he helps me. Amen. Those working in the cellar, you understand this, they get to feel the anointing first. Amen. There's times when I'm driving alone in my car or sitting at my desk at work, or I'm doing something like that, and I nobody else around me, nobody can see anything, and God will come and settle right in where I'm at, and me and him will have a meeting, and he'll just come and let me know that he's real, and that he loves me, and that he's with me. There ain't nothing like the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. There ain't nothing like it. And once you've experienced, it's like anything else in this world, you get addicted to it. And once you start having it, you just want more and more. Joash got to feel the oil before King David or King Solomon felt it. He felt it before the high priest got it. Before all the people overhead got it, Joash had already felt the anointing. I've already been there, he could say. I've got millions upon millions of gallons of oil around me, and I get to feel the oil around me every day. You want a little vial of oil? Man, I've got barrels upon barrels. I've got oil to spare because I've done my job in keeping the oil. Don't feel sorry for me. I live in the oil. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will work wonders in your life. You look different. You talk different. You dress different. Everything's different when God has the anointing on your life. Amen. Down there in the cellar, that's where we get the anointing. To take it down there or take it out in the world. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. The world may despise you. The world may shun you. The world may leave you off their circle of friends, because the world don't understand what it is to live down in the cellar and keep the oil. They don't understand what it is to have the anointing on their lives. But friend, keep the oil. The only hope for this world rests in those who keep the oil. The world's hope rests in the keeper of the cellar. For babies yet to be born, their future lies in the cellar. Don't look to the White House. Don't look to the Congress or Senate or any other form of government. Don't look to the Supreme Court. They can't give you the anointing. Get down in the cellar, you and alone with God, and get out, keep your oil and get under the anointing of the oil. Amen. The hope for generations yet to be born rests squarely upon those who will keep the oil in the cellar. The greatest treasure that Jerusalem ever possessed was the oil that was in the cellar. And Joash was entrusted with the most important job that King David could have entrusted anyone with, and that was to keep the oil. God help us this evening to be like Joash. Let's keep the oil. Let's treasure the oil. Let's let the oil cover us from head to toe. I want the anointing of God so rich in my life that I can't stand to do anything else. Amen. There ain't nothing like it. I want to be like Peter when Jesus was getting ready to wash his feet, Brother Tony. Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet." He said, "Unless I wash your feet, there's no hope for you." Now I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Well, then not my feet only, but wash all of me. I want the holy anointing not just on my hands, not just on my feet. I want it to cover every part of me. So when the world looks at me, they can see something beyond myself, that they can see Jesus Christ, Him hope, that there's hope in Him." There's no other hope to be found today. And I ask you this one question. Are you willing to be a keeper of the oil? Are you willing to do what it takes to keep the oil? Are you willing to be in those dark, lonely places? Life's always not always a bed of roses, but I'm glad that we have somebody that said He'd never leave us, never forsake us. He'd go with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So how are you keeping your oil? God help us tonight to be like Joash. Let's keep the oil. Amen. As you stand to your feet, I'm glad tonight that God knows who we are. That without Him, there'd be no anointing. But I'm glad He entrusts some of us, some of you, to keep the oil. When you're back away in your prayer closet and you're spending time alone with God and you're praying for the services, you're praying for the sick, you're praying for the preachers, you're praying for the workers, you have the most important job in the church, and God is going to reward you mightily for being a keeper of the oil. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for how good You are to us. And God, we can't get enough of the anointing in our lives tonight. And I'm so glad that You love us. And God, there's times when we're in these dark, dry, lonely places, and we feel like nobody cares and nobody's looking. I'm glad that You've taken notes of everything that we're doing. God, help us to be faithful servants. Help us to be faithful keepers of the oil tonight. Because, God, there's nothing. If the world could just experience for one time what it is to have a touch of God, to have a touch of the Holy Spirit in their life, Lord, it'd be forever changed. But they're searching and they're wandering about aimlessly without hope. But, God, I'm glad that there's hope in You tonight. God, help us as a church to be doing our part in keeping the oil. There's power in the oil. Lord, we can't thank You enough for being so good to us. And Lord, we bless Your holy name. God, help us tonight as a body of believers to do our very best to keep the oil. Lord, we love You. Give You praise in Your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.